Game on 2FM.
With Gillette. Great performances begin with a comfortable close shave from Gillette. Gillette, making men's lives just that little bit easier. Game on. Rugby.
John Cooney, when he was let go from the Irish squad this week, he was one of the players who definitely won't be on the plane to Japan. And I just wonder, in terms of Joe Schmidt, how that news might have been delivered, or would it have weighed much on his mind, or does he have to say, look, in the best interest of the squad and the job that I'm trying to do to prepare them as best I can, I got to do this, and I'm absolutely prepared to do it, and I'm not going to lose any sleep about it. Is there a mix between the two?
Yeah, no, I think I think the conversation would be a bit softer around. Well, you wouldn't say I'm not going to lose any sleep about it.
Well, not to his face, no. But in terms of Joe's.
No, well,
listen, mate, you're out, and I couldn't give a monkey's, right? There's the door. What are you waiting for?
Well, I thought that's what you were implying. No, I think, obviously, if you're making a... The reality is John Cooney could still end up at a World Cup. You just don't know. But I think the conversations he's having this week are probably going to be easier than the ones that happen, you know, post-Wales in the Viva, because they're the fellas who are really going down to the line. And, you know, maybe he won't know going into the last game before he names a squad exactly what his first choice 31 is, and it's up to someone getting having a real inspirational period, or showing that he can cover another position well, that could challenge it. But it's very hard. I mean, I remember Eddie, I ended up a standby for two World Cups, and I think Eddie basically said, look, I'm going to call everybody, for example, on a Monday. I'm not sure the exact details, but I'm going to call everyone on a Monday. It's up to you whether you answer the phone or not. You know what I mean? I'm only going to call the people who aren't getting the trip, whatever. And I think some fellas didn't answer, let go.
Did you answer?
I answered, yeah, because, like, you know then, you know what I mean? You just thank him for the opportunity, and you're obviously good at it, but...
I suppose if you answer the phone, you get to ask the question,
yeah,
why?
If you want, yeah,
why?
If you want. If
why
you want. Yeah,
involved?
If you want. Well, I don't think that's the time to really do it. I think let them go and prepare for the World Cup then, and then when they come back, if that coach is still involved, you know, then you try and find what you need to work on. But yeah, some fellas actually would really need to know why. For me at the time, it wasn't that important. It was just to know, put out your misery and crack on then back with your province. But at some stage, yeah, it's really important to find out exactly what you missed out on and what you need to work on. But it's a very tough part of the job, and you know, and potentially some head coaches, they mightn't necessarily agree with the decision, but because the forwards coach has made an unbelievable case that to make up what he wants, and you back him, but you're the one who has to give the bad news, you know.
Right.
So it's a tough one.
You know, it is interesting. I'm going to come back to John Cooney in a second in terms of what that might mean for the squad. In an overall sense, though, the main kind of news story coming out of the Italy game was Joey Carberry and how bad that injury was. We know it's 4 to 6 weeks now. He's going to Portugal on this warm weather training camp, if you like. So clearly he's in the mix to play against Scotland, depending on how fast the recovery is, which is crucial, isn't it?
Yeah, it's crucial. But I think that's the beauty of... It's a harsh word, beauty, but that's the positive of getting injured in the first warm-up game
versus the last.
Yeah, and I think that's why, like, if you look at Gatland, he played a very strong team against England. Obviously, he lost Anscombe, who's out for the tournament now, but, you know, a Ken Owens or a Ross Moriarty or a George North, for example, if they pick up a soft tissue injury now, they still make the World Cup. Whereas if you're looking for key minutes in that last warm-up game or second last warm-up game, you're getting pretty tight, particularly because we've got Scotland
and Japan
early, you know what I mean? Whereas if you have two softer round one and round two games in your group, you know, you can afford to maybe carry someone out there who's injured but is going to be ready for round three and four. So it's a tough one. Carberry's so important to Ireland now because potentially he's our backup 15 as well.
Yeah.
And now it looks like he could be our backup 9. Sorry, our backup 2 to backup. Yeah.
It
looks like
so
Ireland...
It could be a third choice.
A third choice 9, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So if we go with 3 10s, which I think he'll have to now with Joey being out, he may only go 2 9s. Which means one of those 10s has to cover 9 and emerge. That's what England have done. England have gone 2 9s. Mm. Joe did it before in the last World Cup. Yeah, Madigan was covering 9. Mm. And so Carberry is...
He's crucial.
He's absolutely crucial. And he looked brilliant at the weekend.
Okay, so just on that, you were commentating as well on the match. Now, it wasn't a great game. Nobody was expecting your game as the first run out after a long summer of training. I just was sitting back almost admiring Joey Carberry and some of the stuff that he was able to do at full tilt, those little drop onto his foot to kick the grubber kicks through almost on a shoestring as well, the passing, the lines of running that he makes. Like, for me, you know, next Six Nations, there's a serious dilemma about who is our first choice 10. For me.
No, I know. Listen, Joey's flashy and very, very, very exciting player, but the nuts and bolts are Johnny Sexton makes the whole team better. So I think he's still got a long way to go. But if you're talking about long-term successor to Johnny Carberry, we're very lucky to have him as our backup 10. Okay. And I agree with you. He's a brilliant footballer. He's absolutely class. And his kicking game has improved immeasurably. He looked very composed, under control. Now, you have to take into account the level of pressure Italian defence, you know, the try from the far pass, beautiful pass, but it's pretty basic stuff. Mm-hmm. and he's coasting, you know, so it wasn't Italian's first choice.
There'll be tougher days ahead.
Tougher days ahead, yeah. But there's no doubt he'll step up and conquer that. But I think Johnny Sexton has still an unbelievable hold on that position, and rightly so.
Yeah. Is there an option of playing Joey Carberry at 12, do you think?
No, not the way Ireland play.
Okay.
Absolutely there is, if you play a different way. I think that him at 15, as a post-Rob, if you know, it depends what Rob does, but if we want to play, so if you look at the way Italy played in the second half, you know, with Canna and McKinley, and they managed to just keep the ball for long periods and start this possession because they had two playmakers. Now, they didn't have the creativity or the power to do anything with it, but, you know, if Ireland had that and would like Stockdale and Earls, etc., you know, it would be a different way of playing. And Joey at fullback has so much time and space. Now, he's not going to be first choice fullback for Ireland in the World Cup, but if you look behind Rob at the World Cup,
yeah,
like, who is the first choice fullback? You know, Larmour for sure is exciting, but
doesn't seem that Joe fully trusts him still.
Is that why Addison going to go to the World Cup as that backup 13, backup 15 potentially? But yeah, there's a void there as well. And if you're talking about getting your best players into the back line, Carberry has a role to play, whether it's a 12, which it won't happen this World Cup, but definitely long term could be an option, or potentially 15.
Okay, so we kind of crank things up now as well. You're looking into the tests that are ahead. England at Twickenham, we got Wales as well to come as well, back to back games. And you know, that Italy game, it's very hard to take anything from it really, because it was a second string Larry, maybe Gary Ringrose and Carberry to a certain extent. But this is where it gets interesting now. They go to Portugal, they have their training camp, and surely now Schmidt wants to see test level intensity and the skills being performed at the level you need to compete at a World Cup now.
Yeah, listen, they got a blowout, but the problem is the team that plays against England will be getting 10 players who are getting their first hit out as well, so we got to kind of expect them to go through the same, I suppose, process and errors and I suppose betting in period that the lads got last week. It's interesting looking strategically, like Eddie Jones picking his 31 so early.
Yeah,
it's fascinating.
Yeah, why did he do that?
Well, I think he wants to show. So if you remember over the last 2 years, Eddie's been saying World Cup, World Cup, World Cup, and it was obvious that he didn't really plan it perfectly because he's bringing in a scrum half, one of two scrum halves, who's got his first cap last weekend.
McConaughey making his debut this weekend.
You know what I mean? McConaughey. Yeah. So
it's almost like he doesn't really know.
He doesn't really know, but I think he's bluffing, and he's basically saying, "I know everything. I'm so confident. I know what's happening. I've picked my 31." But the counter side that is for squad morale, it's going to be so good for those lads to know they're going right. Mm. So any combination work you do over the next 4 or 5 weeks, you know you're going to the World Cup. Plus, if you don't want to play somebody, you don't have to play him, so he proves himself. You know what I mean? So it's the results will tell who was right or not, but if Eddie Jones goes and England win the World Cup, you know, other coaches will be going, that's the route to do, or the plan of action to do in future. But I think it's fascinating. I think it will give England a lot of confidence and allow them actually gel more than potentially guys in Ireland, in the Irish squad. They'll gel really well, but there's guys on the bubble. There's guys highly stressed, and potentially the coach has to give fellas minutes to make his mind up.
Okay.
Whereas England will still have changes because there'll be injuries, but in general, it's a quite interesting way of going about it.
It is, and it's complete contrast, as you say. I mean, you look at the overall state of the World Cup now in terms of who could win it, and New Zealand getting stuffed by Australia was an unusual one. Steve Hansen has reacted with changes. We might just go into those a little bit later on. Australia, with that performance, have come right back up. South Africa, Rugby Championship winners, and we have Ireland, and we have England, and we have Wales.
Yeah.
It's the most open World Cup I can remember for a long time.
I think so, and it'd be very interesting to see where the gap is, or if there is a gap between Northern Hemisphere, Southern Hemisphere, when we get down there. You know, Australia, that was it was a shot in the arm for Cheka. I mean, that kind of win. And I think they would have won the game. They looked like they were going to win the game before the red card. They were playing very well. Yeah. James O'Connor.
We spoke about him last week.
Yeah,
amazing,
and he had an amazing offload, which is basically how those games go. Yeah. You need your big game players to have a moment of magic, and then suddenly you get momentum and confidence. So that was amazing for Australia. The All Blacks have had a bit of a blip over the last 3 weeks. You know, they got a draw against South Africa, weren't convincing. You know, Hansen's come out and said they're guilty of playing stupid rugby against Australia.
Yeah.
Now, it's no harm either to maybe have a little bit of a dip and dampen expectations and focus the mind, but they don't look invincible.
No,
which
they don't.
Which is very rare. Very rare.
And Ben, Owen Franks has been dropped. Yeah. Ben Smith has been dropped. And Rico Ioane's been dropped. So in comes Nepolo Lala. Not a huge amount of experience. You've got George Bridge and Seva Reese as well. 22 caps between them. Shot on the arm for the squad. Say, look, nobody's a cure. Like, I mean, nobody's place guaranteed here.
Yeah, I think, whatever about tactically, I think they were, their attitude and their intensity was poor at the weekend against Australia, and they look a little bit rudderless, lacking direction. So I'd be very surprised if they don't show a marked improvement. But it's not good for Hansen, it's not good for New Zealand. I think it's far better for them to be dominant going into this World Cup and still have that aura about them. It's starting to drop a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And just finally then, a massive injury for Wales. Anscombe is gone. I mean, Dan Biggar, for me, I'm a huge fan of Dan Biggar, always have been. It was a 50-50 call and who you might go with. Anscombe seemed to be having the edge there, but still, to lose someone like Anscombe, cover 10, cover 15, and he's a ball player.
He's like our Carberry, really. He got injured making a brilliant line break against England. Gatland has really kind of moulded him and stuck by him, and last season he was superb. I think Biggar was brilliant to come on and close the game out, and I'd be interested to see. Wales is success was built on their defence, but they were trying to evolve their attack, and Anscombe was a big part of that. The most like-for-like replacement is Jared Evans, the Cardiff Blues 10, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's given an opportunity to be number one with Biggar still there for that
close
out the game, or in a different type of pressurised game to play. But I don't think it's automatic that Biggar will then now become the first choice 10.
Okay,
there's one more thing I want to talk about if I can. So you talk about it, hear the coaches talking about 31 players not being enough for the World Cup. And the rumour is, the feeling among some coaches is Rugby World Cup don't want to pay for that extra player. But I think from a safety point of view, if you look at what most managers are doing or coaches are doing, they're going with five props, right? Where one has to be able to cover both sides.
Okay.
Like, realistically, Andrew Porter and John Ryan, from an Irish point of view, spend 3 years, 11 months preparing to be tight heads, and then for a World Cup we ask them to go play loose head. Now, I've no doubt that Greg Feek and the Irish forwards will make sure that they're well drilled in that position, but you think of some of the weaker countries, right? If they copy that, so a Namibian or Canadian tight head who's asked to play loose head against a world class team, there's a real safety element. So I would say, regardless of extending it to 34 or 5, because I don't think it's any harm to have this debate going
absolutely.
In. But to make it 32 with the rule that you have to have six props.
Okay, so 3-3, specialist and stick.
Exactly, because it's still a dangerous area of the game and you need to be a specialist.
Okay, so just on that, before you leave it, I mean, I never played in the front row, you have, and it's been described to me as the equivalent of being left-handed and asked to play with your right hand. That's how different the positions are. Is that fair
absolutely,
description?
Absolutely. And
so from a safety point of view, that's crazy then.
It's crazy, and I know that, like you said, these guys, he played loose head 2 years ago. Yeah, he did. But, he would have packed down a tight head for 400 scrums, since then. And you build up all your muscle memory is for tight props is right-hand side. So, and like, you only need one bad hit or one bad engagement or one bad collapse.
Neck,
for,
back.
For a serious injury. So I just think it's something that they got wrong, and they probably presumed teams would go with six props anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But coaches are now, need to be more flexible.
Because it's in the coach's hands.
Exactly. And guys at the last minute are maybe being asked to play. We're very lucky in Ireland. We have guys who've done it before, and I said we've got a very good scrum coach. But think about the tier two countries,
mm-hmm.
where maybe they don't have that luxury. And I just think for the next World Cup, with safety being a huge focus, it's something that they could easily change without compromising too much.
Okay. Brilliant point. Well made.
Game on. On 2FM. Weekdays from 6.